This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
We got a lot going on right now, Kevin. One of those things being that tomorrow during the 1:30 FC Dallas segment, Shaq Moore will be joining the show.
Okay.
Looking forward to talking to him. And while we're talking about Shaq's,
they just beat Inter Miami.
Sacramento State is now hiring Shaquille O'Neal as we add another one to the list, Kevin. So Steph Curry, Trae Young, Terrence Mann, and Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal, it says he is taking on the general manager role at Sacramento State, not an assistant general manager role. I wonder if that was him being like, no, I'm never going to be the second to Kobe. I'll never be the second to anybody else either.
Maybe.
I've been tracking this for quite some time now. Max Crosby's jumped in on this thing.
You love this stuff.
This is because I think, and Alec and I, it was during Christmas time, we had the conversation that the GM job in college might be the coolest, the most sought after job in the world in the future, because you get to actually build what you want. You know, you can have the money that you want to go buy players if you need to, but you get to build teams without a lot of the red tape that the NFL and all those have to deal with. And you get, it seems like that's a pretty penny to do the job too.
Okay. Now,
these seem more like, what's the word?
Honorary
roles than anything else right now.
And that honestly, that was going to be my question, is how many people do you think take the job so they can be like, hey, we got Shaq, and Shaq can be like, yeah.
Yes, you do.
I don't really need to do anything.
Shaq is a busy man too.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about all the things. He's got the insurance with that army headed guy. He's got.
Okay.
The shakaronis. He's got to cut all the pepperonis up for those pizzas.
Quick question. If you end up with that insurance, is it because they're really good and reputable, or
Shaq
has your driving record kind of fallen off and you sort of need?
I will never on 100,000 watts take a shot at them.
No.
Because I have no clue.
No. How is that a shot? It was a question.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Is it because they're great and have the best value and service, or did things go wrong for your driving and you need some rehabilitation?
Text in and let us know.
I really am curious about that.
So those are my two Shaq stories.
Okay.
So we covered the sports part of this segment.
By the way, fun fact, did you know that Shaq Moore scored the first goal for FC Dallas on Saturday?
I did.
And then they gave up a whole bunch of goals and it looked bad, but then they came back and won.
Kevin.
They won!
This is probably, we need to keep this in mind going into next week, because next week our friends at Whataburger, and we love us some Whataburger.
Oh man.
Whataburger is serving up a what-a-sized thank you to the real MVPs of our community, our amazing teachers. For the fourth year in a row, Whataburger is saying from May 5th to May 9th, and teachers can swing by anytime from 5 to 9 a.m. 5 to 9 a.m.
Because that's when they're going to school.
Free breakfast entree. So if you like the taquito, you like the breakfast on a bun, or the honey butter chicken biscuit, yeah, that's exactly what you're thinking.
In these instances,
educators and school staff can enjoy their choice of free breakfast, presenting a valid school ID when ordering for dine-in. This is not available through the app or Whataburger.com. It's only available in restaurants.
Are you saying it like that? Also, if you're an educator, how many Whataburgers do you think you could hit? Clearly, probably two a day if you hit all five of them on the way to school. So you could get 10 free breakfast entrees, potentially. But also, what if they like ask for something that's like not part of it? And you're like, yeah, it's teacher appreciation. That feels...
No, we don't appreciate you that much.
Well, that feels tough to be like, no, you can have the breakfast taquito, but if you want the meal, too bad.
Whataburger is awarding also, Kevin, $1,000 classroom grants to 75 educators in celebration of its 75th anniversary, totaling, I don't know if you know this or not, $75,000 in funding going straight to local students across its 16-state footprint. So there's more information out there at Whataburger.com. Go check it out. Thank you to our friends at Whataburger for providing the people who are very undervalued in our society.
For sure.
The teachers of America. Have you ever seen is it Caleb Presley who does the interviews? And he did the one with Boban, and he was like, "You think you should be paid more than teachers?" And Boban's kind of like, "Yeah."
Oh man! So I brought up this was a mistake, and I was like, "Oh, I don't know." I said that some influencer got like $75,000 for an Instagram post, and I was like, "That's more than you make an entire year as a teacher." To my wife, and she was like, shook her head. And then in my mind, I was like, what was the point of telling her that? Mm-hmm. Like, what did you possibly think was going to go well after this?
Listen, man.
Nothing.
I'm sure every single person has a teacher that just sticks out to them.
Yes.
That they remember and love. Next week, appreciate those teachers that you've loved in their time.
Do you want to have a teacher round table? We call like old lady round table?
Dude, if anybody can help me find Miss Creighton, I'm totally in. She was my kindergarten teacher. Favorite teacher I ever had, because kindergarten's awesome. I mean, it is. It's the best.
Unless they make you write with a different hand.
Well, I didn't. I don't even know if they let me write at that point. They were just like, just play and take a nap every once in a while. But yeah, Miss Creighton, if you could find her, I will have her on a show. We already had one of my teachers on the show during the Super Bowl.
Man, I really like this from the 214. Kevin, I had the general insurance years back because I was broke. Actually, not that bad. See, that's what I'm looking for. And no, I'm not going to ask questions. I'm not asking any religious or holiday-based questions to FC Dallas players. Or hopefully anybody ever again.
All right. Story number two. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees complete list is out now, Kevin. And I think this is an important one because Kevin has recently stumbled into liking music more. It was because of Kendrick Lamar, I believe. This was when Damn came
that
out?
That is correct. Man, that album was freaking awesome.
Here is the list of inductees. Chubby Checker. Surprised he's not already in, honestly.
Sometimes when they do the Hall of Fame, I'm like, he wasn't in the Hall of Fame? Or they weren't in the Hall of Fame?
Joe Cocker.
Yeah.
Cyndi Lauper,
big part of the success for WrestleMania 1.
Girls just want to have fun, you know? Bad Company.
Okay.
All right, see, here you go. The White Stripes. You ever heard of them, Kevin? Old Jack White?
And so, like, it took forever to get Chubby Checker in there. But the White Stripes, they're like, that's the best damn bass line I've ever heard in my life, which is fair.
That song.
Put them in the Hall of Fame.
That song, you got to admit, is in every single stadium right now.
I agree.
Soundgarden.
Oh, Black Hole Sun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, their lead singer's no longer with us.
Oh, no. That happened. Did that happen a while ago?
Yeah, it did happen a while ago. I think we were still in Nights when it happened.
Okay, I think.
Oh. And then lastly, Outkast.
Oh, I love
it. Outkast is going in, and I really appreciate the fact that that's a pretty good list right there for 2025.
And that shows the versatility of coming up right now, Soundgarden, next, Outkast. Like, I just wonder how many people are like, those are my two favorite bands. Yeah. Like, they're very different, but they both have like great merits.
It is interesting because I think our generation is probably the first generation that you would hear that said. Those are my two favorite bands, a rock and roll band like that and a rap group like that.
Yeah.
Like that's our generation seems to be the first one that would like something like that. And for anybody that's like, it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Whatever. Come on, dude. Go to the place. Go check it out.
It is the music hall of fame
more than anything else. And then lastly, Kevin, this story, because we like fun here on the KNC Masterpiece. Have you ever been to Lufkin, Texas?
Yes.
Alec, have you ever been to Lufkin, Texas?
I think once or twice.
I have rolled through Lufkin as well. Have you ever done an Easter egg hunt?
Not in Lufkin, but yes, I have done an Easter egg hunt. Man, we went to one where they flew over with the helicopters and dropped the eggs.
I've been to
that was so
they
cool.
did it at the Arboretum one year so when I was like five, I feel like. I don't know. According to a press release from the Lufkin Police Department,
Oh, no.
Officers received a tip about a Facebook account that was posting about plastic eggs full of marijuana hidden in various parks around the city as part of a scavenger hunt. The suspect posted 4 photos on Facebook showing each location as hints to locate the eggs. He also posted a photo of 5 plastic eggs in the seat of a vehicle. Officers found 4 eggs and believed he had not placed the 5th yet. Officers learned that they were incorrect in their assumption when a man and his granddaughter turned the final egg into the department the next day, also having found it in a park per the release. In total, officers said they recovered over 1/4 ounce of marijuana, which
that doesn't feel like that much. Over 1/4 ounce.
The suspect identified. I'm not. He was doing this because he was trying to get up his business. He was trying to drum up business. So he started posting this. Yeah. They also found statements referencing selling narcotics on multiple occasions and in the posts.
So they made a mistake. The idea here is fundamentally sound, though. All you have to do is drop an egg on either side with like a mini 3 musketeers in it or whatever. And then if somebody gets caught, you're like, what? I can't believe this. I was here for Easter egg hunting. And bring along a family member that maybe you don't particularly care about that much. And that's how perhaps you could get away with it.
The from the 972, Lufkin's my hometown, LOL. And then from the 817, I didn't hear about the weed eggs. And that's got to be like, I wonder how much business popped because of this, you know? How much business did pop? By the way,
the versatility of weed really isn't amazing, the way people have used it and sold it.
And I'm looking right now, Kevin, at the map of legalized and the way that they like specialize in the legalization of it all. And
there's not a lot for us.
Just look at all the areas that are actually legal.
Yeah.
And then the areas like Texas is a CBD, THC only, you know, so like, kind of place.
The West Coast and East Coast is pretty much all like accepting of it to a certain extent.
And
is
then
what
the
I see
Southeast
the
is like. Let's see how I'm betting here's, and this has always been my assumption and approach on this. Those areas are still trying to figure out how to monetize it governmentally. I think the state of Texas is still very adamant. It's never going to happen until we find a way for our pockets to get lined.
I agree. That makes it more, just like the same thing with gambling. I know people go back to, it's like, oh, they don't want to legalize it. Once they figure out a way where the money coming in is going to be far better than them having to do no work to get money, then that's when it's going to get legalized.
So that right there, ladies and gentlemen, the lesson learned there. Don't post your weed business on Facebook.
The police are on their way, mofos.
Exactly.
From the 903. See, this is the kind of music I like to hear. I like the differences here. My CD collection consisted of Three Doors Down, Bone Thugs and Harmony, and Tim McGraw.
I have those CDs in my CD collection as well. It was so diverse because music's fun, dude.
Coming up next, how the new draft picks for the Cowboys could fit in, and plus, whether it was value, position, fit, whatever else. Who was your favorite pick in this Cowboys draft, and why? Next on The Fan.
Ward on first down. Look at how relaxed he is.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, still dealing with some of the aftermath of the NFL draft. Cam Ward, the number one overall pick. Also, all day long, we've been celebrating the Dallas Stars beatdown of the Colorado Avalanche. I'm going to take it back to football here, if that's okay with you.
Oh, man.
Oh.
It sounds good.
That was not a good, oh, man.
Yeah, like no, it sounds Dickies good. I'm proud.
All right. So let's talk about the Cowboys' new draft picks and potential roles for each of them. But I also want to know for y'all, 877-881-1053, whether it was fit, you just like the player, you love the value, whatever the case might be. Who was your favorite Cowboys pick in this draft? Because I think people might have different answers for obviously different reasons. All right. Tyler Booker. Feels fairly straightforward. Steven even said it's safe to assume he walks in and is our starter at right guard. That one does not feel particularly complex,
that
right?
Make you feel like they didn't like their right guard spot? They didn't like Brock Hoffman? He's a...
Yes, that they thought...
They didn't sound like he's going to compete for the job.
No, it didn't. And I wonder if they go back to the drawing board with another competition at center, or if that's just the way it is, and they're like, hey, we didn't like our offensive line, but you still weren't good enough.
From the 817... My favorite is Booker. Hopefully he gets to replace, he gets to be on the players show.
Oh yeah. That would be fun.
That would be very interesting because was it Zach Martin? We've had Zach Martin do it last. It was Eric Kendricks has done it. The personality that Booker has with G-Bag, I think would be phenomenal, but I don't know how they do that with rookies. Cause it's like, you're trying to grow into the leadership role and still, you know, sometimes guys don't want to take that away and be that when they're like, look, I'm not necessarily a leader yet.
Now, I can already tell we've gotten texts about it today. I know the morning show got texts about it as well. In the second round, some people are frustrated because they view this as only a third down pick, or at least this year as only a third down pick, as opposed to if you would have gone running back one, wide receiver two, whatever the case is. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I totally see what they're saying. Watch the film on the guy, and you're going to be very pleased. I threw out the name yesterday to Wolchuk that he kind of – I was asking myself, do I see a little Greg Ellis in him? And Wolchuk was like, that's actually not a bad comp. And he's not the fastest one on the field, but he has the power to get through. He doesn't get pushed out of plays by tackles. He gets low. I really like him a lot. So I think that he is going to rotate because there are a lot of dudes at the edge position. Kevin, you said it this morning.
Yes.
There are, you're as comfortable with that as you've been in a while because not only are there, is they have bodies, but they also have the talent to be out there. So I think by the end of this season, he's going to be in that mix of rotation. I'm interested to see the power and strength that I see on film in college. Is that going to translate to the NFL real quickly, or is it going to need a little bit of time? But I think people are going to be very happy with the pick that they made there.
From the 903, Ravel, because he loves contact. You jump down to the third round. This is somebody who dropped because of injury concerns about a torn ACL he had last season. For him, though, and I know this is playing with fire because Bland has had injuries, Diggs has had injuries, but I could easily see him being CB3 with the idea of maybe CB2.
Yes. I mean, he could be at the start of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, I
have concerns about that.
He's still going through his, Diggs is still going through his rehab. Now, that being said, Ravel's going through his rehab too. Broadus is very confident Brown and group are going to have him ready and prepared to go. And if he walks in and starts doing exactly what Britt Brown tells him to do, he'll be just fine.
And correct me if I'm wrong. It just feels like something is off with Diggs and the Cowboys. Now, that might be going back to last year where we heard all kinds of rumblings about your rehab versus our rehab and blah,
his
blah,
desire
blah, blah.
And his hunger might be two different things than we want it to be.
Something is off about that.
When it comes to Ravel, I like this from the 469. He's the most value first round player. And yes, he should have been had it not been for that injury that knocked him down a couple pegs. And here the Cowboys were like, we will gladly take this player. If you watch the guy play and you're assuming that he's going to get back to that mode of himself, then that would probably be a lot of people's favorite if you've seen him and you want some tough dudes on your team.
I wonder about Blue. Is his role going to be third string running back and the guy who bumps Deuce off the team? And I know Deuce can be valuable in the return game as well, but with the Cowboys just knowing the way they operate, we gave all this money to Kevontae Turpin. And I wonder about that.
We kind of discussed this yesterday. It felt like when Turpin got the ball in the backfield, he would get 8-9 yards almost every single time. And I wonder who was drawing up those plays. That did not feel like a Mike McCarthy. I want to add this kind of creativity to it. Maybe it was a little more Schottenheimer putting that in there, and he has some more ideas for how to use that. Jaden Blue can do some of the things that Turpin did, and I wonder if they kind of rotate them, or, you know, maybe Turpin has a different role now in this offense, now that he is being paid a little bit more, and you don't have to concern yourself that much with him being in the backfield. However, Jaden Blue has the ability to be a receiver, not just in short stuff, but downfield as well.
Yeah.
He's got really good hands. He's fluid as a receiver, so I like what I see from him.
I think I'm still of the opinion that I don't want both Javonte and Miles Sanders to make this team, because then I think they're your combo running back one.
Yeah.
And I keep holding out hope that we'll figure out another way to put something better out there.
I didn't see much of Jaden Blue being like fighting through bodies.
Right.
But he's fast. And Kevin, if you have a couple of electric game breakers on the field like that, and they pop off a couple of those a game, that's a good that's a positive thing right there. If he can make it through training camp and make his way onto this team.
From the 214, my boy Blue and Jaden Blue, because they're excited to see how he gets used. I like this one a lot. From the 469, my favorite was undrafted free agent signing Josh Kelly, because I went to Texas Tech and everybody knows that Texas Tech people are successful in all facets of life. So I expect Kelly to be our wide receiver number two to CeeDee Lamb.
Is that Mike? Did Mike text that in?
Oh, yeah. He's
pulling for his Raiders.
Okay. I didn't really think
well,
about
he
that.
He didn't go to Tech. You know, he was gonna go to Tech.
I mean, he eventually went back and did courses at Tech and stuff, right?
I don't know. I thought it was UTA or something.
From the 214, they also say Blue is their choice, has a chance to change the offense.
Anybody that watched Texas football is probably going to be pretty excited about it. And he comes from that Tashard Choice group that was pretty special. But anybody that saw him play is probably going to be excited about it. But they also know his warts. And those warts are he's not an every down back like you want him to be, obviously. But then on top of that, his warts are keeping the ball off the ground is going to be important for him.
Yes, and that is something that is
but speed
impeded
Kevin,
his career.
Can't teach speed, as I always say. And so I think I pretty much coined that one along the way. No, I'm just joking. He does have speed for days, and that's something this team lacked for a bit.
For the other fifth-round pick and going into the sixth, James and Cornelius. Now, again, this is not to say that all the draft picks are going to make the team. Like, that doesn't frequently happen. Usually,
they might have a leg up on some guys that haven't proven themselves.
Exactly.
Especially if they're cheaper.
Exactly. And so I wonder if James and Cornelius, you're immediately thinking A, special teams, and B, potential swing tackle.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. James has a lot more to learn. He's raw in a lot of areas at the position, and I'm kind of interested to see where Eberflus lines him up, what he wants him to do, because I think he's got, I would say there's more future things for him, but he is, in my mind, a special teams player at the moment. And with the athleticism that he has, you kind of were like, oh my gosh, Overshown's missing. Maybe you replace the athleticism with this, if you get Overshown back on this field at some point, dude,
that would be great.
And he can be healthy for a while. This defense could look very, very different. And Cornelius, like I'm playing him on the right side somewhere. Let him kind of be a backup swing guy there. Yeah, for sure.
Now, in the seventh round, we can talk about Maffa, but also Zach Wolchuk's buddy. I would love for him to be the player show. If he can make the team, I just think that would be super fun.
We talked about him during the C block yesterday. That's a big old body there.
Now, what I'm seeing is a lot is, man, people seem to be stoked about the pick of Blue. And somebody just said, I don't even care. I just needed a running back that can run really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so how that will go in terms of usage, we'll see. But a lot of people seem to dig that pick.
You know what play has plagued the Cowboys? Since I'm going to go back to the Bruce Carter era.
Tush push?
Not the tush push. The wheel route.
Oh, my God, yes.
How often have we seen people just look at the Cowboys and go, their linebackers can't keep up with our guy. Send them. And was it Danny Woodhead did it for the Chargers like 1,000 times? And we were like, what's happening here? And with Blue, I think you can do that. You can line it up and do it to them now. So I like the opportunity to do that. And yes, for all the people that are excited about yelling out, "You're my boy, Blue," that could definitely be a big deal.
Very fair. From the 903, "Deuce was a fun pick, but I'm over it now. Addition by subtraction." And then this from the 972, "The Cowboys need to give Deuce a chance. He's a good back, and the Cowboys refuse to use him consistently." Now, I get the argument's going to be, well, you're bringing somebody in that's different. Well, I guess, but they were also the offensive coordinator. I just think that the Cowboys, I'm not sure how they thought it was going to work or if it was going to work out immediately. I just think you're far less likely to be like, now's the time we're going to open it up for Deuce, as opposed to, hey, we just took this guy in the fifth round, so let's go ahead and use him a lot more, whether it's for speed, whether it's for gadget stuff, or to eventually try to move forward and be a primary back. I just think there's far more likely that they're going to use him than Deuce.
From the 903, "I really hate how y'all say if he can be healthy for a while, almost like he wanted a 300-pound dude to fall on his knee. The fact is, he's been injured twice."
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's been injured two different times. If he can stay healthy, and that does mean not having the 300-pound dude. I'm not saying I don't know about injury prone here, because we have the two injuries. Those are uniquely different.
Yeah.
Because contact injuries are not considered injury prone. It's the other ones.
No, I didn't agree with that from Nico whatsoever. But let me put it to you like this way. I hope it doesn't happen whatsoever. But if DeMarvion Overshown were to get hurt one more time, aren't you just like,
it's tough. That's a tough thing, dude.
It's
unlucky.
Josh Young runs into that same thing.
Exactly.
But we're to the point now where I'm not saying it's his fault, but I'm saying your body is more apt to get hurt than the usual baseball player in the major leagues. That's just what it looks like.
And now that you've had to recover from injuries, that's another thing. That's another factor that goes into it, too, is you're recovering, you're rehabbing. You're not quite the same person you were before that injury ever happened. And you can come back strong, but you know, the more those continue to add up on your body, you see, go look at all the history of athletes on the field and how those things start to take a toll on them. I want the most for DeMar. Dude, he is an electric player.
Yeah.
He is fantastic. And if he is healthy and on the field, that's the health, keeps him off the field. If he's on the field, then they're a better defense.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I wanted to throw this story out super quick if we can. Have you seen the dust up between the amazingly named Thomas McPeak and Caesars?
No.
So McPeak claims that he won $800,000 and Caesars is like, hey, I'm not going to pay you. This is amazing to me. Listen to this part of the story. McPeak lives with his parents in suburban Chicago, and all Caesars would do is refund his original $50,000 bet. He lives with his parents, yet he just dropped a $50,000 bet. Maybe he's just saving even more money. I don't know, but he made a bet in Indiana a few months back for $30,000 and won $350,000. He won $450,000 at a casino in Iowa. And so, look.
How's this dude making these big bets?
But these are sports wagers.
I know. That's what I'm saying. These are great plays on his part. How is he doing this?
Well, here's part of what he's done. He said he uses disguises or changes his physical appearance. Like, he has really long hair, so I don't know if he, like, wraps it up, sticks it under a hat, or just goes full Chiafalo.
How do you do your hair, Alec?
I usually do like the Roman Reigns kind of like halfway bun.
Yeah.
In the back. So then if you wear a hat, it can actually go through the gap in the back of the hat.
And see, so he's been doing things like that to stay under the radar. Now, the issue is Horseshoe Casino in Indiana and Isle Casino in Iowa are both owned by Caesars. And they say that he has violated their policy of placing bets in different states. I bet a lot of people place bets in different states. And they're like, hey, we told you this is against the rules. You violated again. Now you lose. Now, would they have accepted the bet, had the bet lost, and probably been like, you know what, that's okay.
They absolutely would have.
For sure.
There's no rule against taking the bets.
Yeah, but There are some people who are like, no, yeah, they're right to do that. And there's other people who are like, it's interesting that you didn't enforce the policy when he made the bet. You enforced the policy
after he won,
after the results were known.
And there's no judge that's going to sit on that one, right? And rule in their favor, rule in the individual's favor?
It feels like probably not, especially depending on where you get the court case heard, if whatever. It goes to that.
Whatever.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Just coming
with,
up next.
Go with underdogs. That's my approach.
Exactly. Never a problem. You get those payouts immediately. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Ranton in one more time. Quickly moved, shot, score! Just in the finish! What a pass from Duchesne! And Dallas, on the power play, has doubled their lead!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific. Hagee, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I want to give you the option here. You want to talk Stars? Man versus Gorilla or Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man?
Wow, that's I'll go Stars though.
Okay. This obviously
stick to sports, Kevin.
Yeah. Okay.
That was a star-studded list. Yeah. Yeah. Bro.
He's saving Gorilla talk for our show.
None of you Nimrods were going to talk about that. All right. Clearly, the most impressive game the Stars have had. I know the hits looked out of whack, but this did not feel like a game to me where the Stars were consistently getting out physicaled. Unless y'all feel differently.
No, they did a great job of avoiding the pressure coming from Colorado. I think they got some breaks. A goaltender had a nice game. It's been amazing how for stretches of the previous four games the Stars had played well. They couldn't manage to put together an entire game. And I think outside of maybe that 4 or 5 minutes in the second period last night, they were either in control or going nose to nose. They weren't. The floodgate never broke.
And I go back to, it was the back-to-back penalties where there's a call against Colorado. And then 1 second after that power play ended, you got the call against Hintz that led to a power play for Colorado. The first minute of that Dallas power play was unbelievable. And I go back to it. I know they didn't score, but just shot after shot. Quality opportunity. I feel like they got some really good looks last night.
They sure did.
Yeah,
they absolutely did. I mean, it's nice to finally not turn the puck over in the neutral zone, which was a massive problem in game four, and then play with a little bit of a lead, Brian. I mean, that was something, my gosh, they came out. We know Wyatt Johnston, fastest goal in the history of Stars playoff hockey, but when you lead basically then the entire game, I know it got a little tense at 3-2, but they answered the call.
It was nice to see them take advantage of some Colorado mistakes, though.
Agreed. The
defensive pinch, and then all of a sudden they get some breakaway opportunities. You know, that's something that really hasn't happened. They had a lot of times where Colorado just in the game the other night, Saturday, just Colorado kept them in their own end, and Dallas is dumping it, and they can't get it out. I mean, they're just trying to just relieve the pressure there, and, you know, the puck keeps coming back into the zone. And last night, their ability to the passing, the Colorado mistakes, taking advantage. You know, you talk about a couple of fluky goals, but that's what you need in the playoffs. You need a puck to hit a skate. You need a puck to tip off a defender. You know, just those types of things are what makes the difference in these games. And I thought that Dallas, just the effort, the intensity, just the ability to stay on, even when they got that 3-goal lead, when it was 3-0, they stayed on top of Colorado. They did not give up. They didn't, you know, they did. They just kept going after him. Yeah, the 2 goals got pulled back, but then what did they do? They were ready to pounce again and take advantage of some things. So, tip of the cap to them for getting it done. Need that intensity Thursday night in Denver.
Yeah, because obviously none of the Stars are going to be like, oh, we got this now. This is still going to be a crazy game on Thursday. But I have started myself to allow myself to think just a little bit that the rest of the West has been stuck at 2-2, and you might be able to advance against who a lot of people thought was the Western Conference favorite without 2 of your best 5 or 6 players.
Sure. I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, look, the West is a gauntlet. It always will be. It's super, super deep. But as you're kind of looking at this, like if St. Louis can carry on what they've been able to do winning the last 2 against Winnipeg, all of a sudden you knock out a Jets team that's really, really heavy on their back line, and that's something that I don't think's been a great matchup for the Stars. If you could end up playing the Blues in the next round, that could be a nice advantage for you. And then projecting ahead, like, could the Wild end up upsetting Vegas? Vegas is another one of those teams, big, physical. Those have been some crazy matchups the last 2 years in the postseason as those two teams have split. So, yeah, I mean, the draw could end up working really well for you, especially if you're able to get Miro back, who obviously I'm not expecting him to play in game six, maybe win or go home scenario in game seven. He looks like he's moving around pretty well. I just wouldn't expect them to trot him out there in a game six when they could possibly win it and not need him and allow him to get some extra rest.
I kind of feel like, too, this, and this might be something that might be a little underrated, but if you get Winnipeg out and you advance, travel to St. Louis is so much different than having to get on a plane and go to Winnipeg every other day.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that, you know, you think about wear and tear, and these guys are conditioned. We'll also see the Stars playing now again with the two-day rest period thing again, which they did not look very good Sunday with that. They get in this rhythm where they're playing every other night. That's a hockey player tradition. But the fact, the potential wear and tear in a round two, if you get through, and St. Louis, who has been playing great, the last month of the season, well, wear and tear on you just for travel would be a lot better.
You know, I want to give some love to Coach DeBoer. I think, you know, coaching through this is fantastic. The ability to create the patterns through the forecheck last night, I think, really paid off. Jim Nill, though, this is still, even without Miro and without Robo, still the deepest team in the West.
Stacked.
It's just not top heavy, which brings me to McKinnon. I want to see a performance-enhancing drug test for this guy.
He is unbelievable, man.
Yeah. So stupid. Fast.
I mean, the way, just his celebration move last night was the most explosive thing that I'd seen. I'm like, was that a Tiger Woods fist bump in triple fast forward?
He is an amazing player. Now, maybe I just forgot about this. Do you have fiery Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man thoughts?
It just about ruined the franchise for me, Heggy. Tobey Maguire's whininess, you know, the sadness, the depression, you know, emo how he was so hook, line, and sinker
three,
for this.
Spider-Man 3 stunk.
Awful. You know, I get it. You want your superheroes to be human. You want them to be vulnerable. I don't need them to be pathetic like that in every way. You know, and I really feel like it's come back now.
Yeah.
The Spider-Verse has opened it up to so many different personalities that we don't have to be stuck in this pathetic, angsty teenager Spider-Man era.
That's freaking amazing. Mm-hmm. I love it. What do you fine fellas got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always. Yes. Heggy, thanks for asking. It is a Rangers player show Tuesday. Higashioka Kyle is going to join us at 3:20. We're looking forward to that. Thought we had another guest in here. That's right. Ross Tucker at 3.
Nice. All right. Love it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin, and go see Sean and RJ and Anna tomorrow morning.